Hello everyone, and welcome to Architecture Talk. My name is Kevin Schellenbach. The theme music is the song Attacked by Bad Architecture by the group ART, acronym A-R-T. I just wanted to take a brief moment at the beginning to thank everyone for staying subscribed to the show. I know it's sort of difficult when nothing shows up in your aggregator for some time, but I needed to take a little bit of a break to introduce my son into the world. Both he and mom are doing quite well, and I wanted to thank everybody for just staying subscribed and hanging in there and being patient and waiting for the next episode. One thing that I've been trying to keep in touch with as I kind of reacquaint myself with a podcasting universe out there is that there are a few groups out there that have been taking the feeds and taking lists of feeds and bringing them into their own website, and then introducing commercials at the beginning and possibly at the ending of a podcast. So I would like to ask anyone out there, if you've just heard any kind of commercial, please let me know. This podcast is copyrighted and under a Creative Commons license, and to fiddle with it in any commercial way is a violation of the copyright. If you go to the website and look at the feed, you'll see that this podcast is covered under a Creative Commons copyright, a non-commercial fair use attribution, which basically means that if you want to take this and cut it up, do whatever you want with it, play it for your friends, mix it into a mixtape, put me to a beat, whatever you want to do, that's just fine, as long as you don't make any money for it, and, you know, I'd like to get credit as well. So if this copy that you're getting has any commercials in it, please email me, archtalk@gmail.com, and let me know. I wanted to go ahead and start off the show today with something I ran into recently. Digging through some old paperwork, I ran into some things involved with my thesis. What really struck me was this one particular quote. This quote is from an essay writing by Martin Heidegger. It's in the book Poetry, Language, Thought, and it's from the essay or chapter Building, Dwelling, Thinking. Quote, "The nature of building is letting dwell. Building accomplishes its nature in the raising of locations by the joining of their spaces. Only if we are capable of dwelling, only then can we build. Dwelling is the basic character of being, in keeping with which mortals exist. Enough will have been gained if dwelling and building have become worthy of questioning and thus have remained worthy of thought." And I think that what really caught me with that quote is it's not just architecture as sort of physical objects, but it's architecture as sort of a state of being of the occupant. That in order to really experience architecture as it was intended, you have to be able to dwell, which I believe it's been a long time since I read the entire essay, but it's sort of a heightened state of experience when you're really paying attention to the qualities of the surroundings and the nature and the texture and the space in between you and whatever it is that you're perceiving. That kind of void that you occupy is where you dwell, and that dwelling is one step beyond just sort of being in the space. It's sort of experiencing the space. And he goes into some detail on what exactly he means to dwell. But it's important, I think, that you or we begin to think about how we occupy architecture as much as the architecture itself. There's a reciprocal relationship that happens between the occupant and the building. It's not just a passive act of looking at it and passing through it and being surrounded by it, but it's also how you engage it, how the individual experiences it, how we dwell within the space. And, you know, a lot of these things, this notion of perception, I've heard some people call it phenomenology in relationship to architecture. I have a very good idea what that means in terms of just architecture, that phenomenological architecture is based on the experience, the quality of light, the physical phenomena that make the space work, that give the space meaning. And my understanding actually is that in philosophy, the term phenomenology, sorry, has a slightly different context, that it's almost about a state of being of perception. It's some kind of elusive concept. And, you know, to be honest, I quoted Heidegger there, but I don't understand the world of philosophy all that well. I'd really like to learn more. And in fact, if anyone knows of a good philosophy 101 sort of podcast out there, let me know. I found I have a lot of time to listen to such things and find them to be quite educational. Another book that I had read in relationship to my thesis was called Getting Back into Place. And a lot of the arguments that were made by that book had to do with the physical qualities of surroundings have a huge amount of significance in terms of philosophy, states of being, in terms of the significance of ourselves. Because, you know, in order to exist, you can't exist without having a place to exist in. In fact, it is probably a essential quality of existence that we need to have a place to exist, that existence is tied to place so inseparably that it is impossible to exist without existing somewhere in some location. So, having shared one of my favorite quotes from actually some time ago, that dwelling and building have become worthy of questioning and thus have remained worthy of thought, I wanted to move on a little bit into a slightly lighter topic, and I wanted to discuss briefly sort of what this is that we're doing here. There's a thing out there that a lot of the geeks and more technical people call Web 2.0, and it is sort of a model of using the internet that's more interactive, it's more small scale, it's more about diverse connections across time and space, really. And I think that's a really interesting, it makes a really interesting architectural implication, or it's interesting in how it can be making use of in an architectural fashion. And the most obvious way, the most simple way, is simply through communication. Architecture is, the way I think of it, often about ideas. It's a certain set and a quality of ideas that are infused within the spaces that we inhabit that sort of heightens our experience of those spaces. And if that's true, then we can communicate verbally, or at least in an audio sense that this show is trying to do, the nature of those ideas, something about their texture. Now, it certainly falls well short of sort of the holistic experience of a building to just talk about it and to listen to me talk about it, or listen to ideas in relationship to it. But it's a start. It's a way of communicating that there is potentially more to the way we exist within buildings, and maybe that is the way we dwell, and the way we perceive them, and the way we give significance to the qualities of place that surround us. And I'm hoping that we can make use of this medium, the Web 2.0, the RSSs, the subscription model, as opposed to the going and looking at model, to exchange ideas. And there's a lot of different websites out there that are doing a good job at that. One other thing I wanted to talk about real quick in this short episode, which is more about getting back on the horse, as it were, for me making podcasts, is I had a little bit of listener feedback that I thought was worth sharing. Some of it was really interesting, and I do want this to be a fairly interactive process, and I haven't done anything as extreme as reading an email from a listener yet, but I have received messages from literally all over the globe. The most recent one was from Peter Collings from Australia, who is starting his practice. I wish you the best of luck, Peter, and hope your endeavor is successful. I did receive one other email a while ago that caught my attention. It's from Christopher Wainwright. I wanted to go ahead and read a little bit of his message. There's a couple of points he made that were really interesting. He says, it is, quote, "It is refreshing and stimulating to listen in on your views of the built environment. I listen at work and find myself debating your viewpoints out loud. My coworkers think I'm nuts. After 9 years in the architectural profession, my brain has gone into a state of hibernation when it comes to matter of architectural theory. It feels good to flex my University of Florida design muscles again. Your last podcast really made me think." You know, right there, that's what does it for me. That's why I make this podcast. That's what is important. If I can use this medium to get all of you out there to think, to consider the built environment as something important, then I think I've done my job. And not that it is a job. If it was a job, I'd get paid. But, you know, I enjoy this. I enjoy trying to communicate ideas to people, and that's what this medium helps me to do. Let's go back into the quote again. Quote, I find myself living in an anomaly that is very different from either one of the two streets that you described. This was a comment to the Tale of Two Streets podcast. My wife and I still live in South Florida, a unicity that stretches for 85 miles from West Palm Beach to Homestead. This strip is only plus or minus 12 miles wide and bordered on each side by virtually untouched nature, the Atlantic Ocean and the Everglades. I've always been drawn to the water and decided to settle on the east side close to the beach. Until you mentioned it... Oh, I'm sorry. I lost track where I was for a moment there. We bought an older, for South Florida, three-bedroom house. Skipping a little bit. All the houses have front and backyards with no sidewalks, but each lot is sold separately, so each house is unique. Until you mentioned it, I've never noticed where the public transportation locations are near my house. They are almost non-existent. We do not have a bus stop about a block from the house along the wide main road, but I've never used it. The strange thing is, we use our backyard as a front yard, or porch, as I described it. Our house is located on an ocean-access, deep-water tidal canal. The rhythm of the changing tide has a profound impact on the perception of the spatial relationship between houses, boats, and yards. The tide cycles about every 12 hours and has a rise and fall of approximately 3 to 4 feet. This cycle has become almost as much a part of my day as the rising and setting sun. During the week, we use our cars to go to work and do errands, much as you described as the impersonal suburbia that has taken over America. The weekends and most nights are focused on the waterside. Fort Lauderdale is known as the Venice of America. After visiting Venice, Italy, I agree that it's the best way to describe our neighborhood. By city code, fences are restricted to 3 feet. This reduces privacy but encourages interaction between neighbors. We know everyone on our canal. Most of our friends lived within 1 mile by water. Almost all aspects of city life are accessible by the waterways. Shopping, dining, bars, entertainment, sports, even some churches are accessible by boat. We try to take full advantage of the waterways and feel very fortunate to be able to live on the water. We were able to get into our house before the housing market down here went crazy. The drawback to our environment is the potential for hurricanes. In the last 2 years, we have lost power for up to 10 days at a time and have sustained minor damage to our house and boat. Nature likes to keep us on our toes. Well, thank you, Chris. I think that's a really interesting point of view, just the switch that a street can be a lot of different things other than the way that I had described it. Jumping to a different email that I'd actually received quite some time ago, 9/20/05, was from Ken, and I'll go ahead and just jump right into reading his email. I'm an American who lives in the south of India, in a town called Mysore, and I apologize, my pronunciation is probably very terrible. I have this impulse to pronounce it Mysore, but that's probably just as incorrect and just as random of an attempt at my part. Back to the quote. I am totally intrigued by architecture, including my wonderful house. I wish I could take you for a tour of the house, show you the wonderful floors. Each room's floor is of a different material, color, and texture. The main room has red oxide, a natural red dye on some form of cement. Then there are floors of natural, rustic black stone. Some of the floors are merely patchwork of cement and different types of stones, often with chunks of the surface missing and some loose debris permanently floating along the surface. Then there is the smooth black cement floors that also used some form of natural dye to create a feeling of beauty and richness. Two mortars are in different rooms' floors for smashing mortars, not mortar as in... I'm sorry. Let me clarify that in my own mind here. The mortars are like mortar and pestle. Two mortars are in different rooms' floors for smashing grains, beans, and legumes. The accompanying pestles are huge and so heavy. The roofs are also of interest. Half of the rooms have roofs that are flat cement on the outside, yet I think you might call it vaulted inside. The other half are two-story high, I'm sorry, this is another word I'm not familiar with, Mangalore tile roofs of earthy red flat tiles that lie on wooden slats. Some of the tiles have windows on them to allow natural light in, just a couple per room as those get too hot and bright otherwise. I love looking up at the tile roofs, they are gorgeous. So different from the type of tile only visible from the exterior. The house feels about 150 years old, although I hear it is just over 50 years old, and was built by the railway company to house people temporarily. 8 rooms, surrounded by 3 mango trees, 9 coconut palms, lots of other fruit trees you've never heard of, and a wonderful organic garden. I love the house and the architecture of India, the old stuff. The tall ceilings with the tiles have an open, spacious, majestic, expansive feel to my living environment. The earthy materials and colors, the variety of textures that massage my feet as I walk around, all make me feel comfy. And yet it never felt complete until I decorated it with cushions on the floor, slabs of raw black stone as tables, resting on cement blocks, and mood lights of the Chinese Thai style. I would love to hear architecture talk on the road, exploring the relationship between architecture styles and cultures, between climate and materials, between relationships and the creation of space. Well, Ken, I would love to do that. Unfortunately, I have to do some traveling first, and it's been kind of hectic, and with a new baby, I don't know if I'll be able to do that soon. Anyway, back to the quote. I would love to hear architecture talk go deep into the sensual experience of a structure, the feeling of warm coolness, the effect that things have on our minds. My thoughts for a moment on architecture. The natural environment is too strong of an experience for us. We need to tone it down, to isolate ourselves from its extremes. So the art of architecture is to block the intensity of nature, thereby offering us comfort, yet to still allow the beauty of nature through, in more specific and narrow channels, so that our minds are not overloaded, yet can rather simply rest our focus on some refined and illuminated elements. Thus, we are handed some natural attributes to sit back and admire, and to subconsciously nourish us, without the burden of taking on too much at one time. Makes me think of Japanese gardens, and how they seem to mimic nature on a smaller level, yet in a more organized way that is easier digested by our human minds. Or the Zen spa look, the Oriental style of design, or isolated from nature's extremes, and give a beautiful dose of nature's beauty, stone, water, flowers, light, harmony, balance, beauty. Oh, thank you, Ken. That's a really wonderful email, and I think one thing that caused me to read it now in relationship with the quote by Heidegger is that I think the experience that you discuss is what he considers to be to dwell and to exist in a more heightened awareness of the space. Well, that's all I really had today for architecture talk. I have a few really interesting things coming up, including a pre-recorded interview that was sent to me from a listener that I will be playing in the next show. Until then, have a good night. This has been Architecture Talk. If you are so inclined, please drop me an email, which is archtalk, archtalk, @gmail.com, and visit the website at shellarch.com/archtalk, shellarch. Oh, gosh, I need a better domain. You know, I have actually just bought or reserved or whatever you call it, archtalk.net, so we're going to be moving over there at some point. When I get lots of free time, probably when my baby is 16 or so. But hopefully we'll be getting an easier-to-remember web address instead of shellarch.com/archtalk in the near future. Thanks for listening. Please stay subscribed. Good night.